Fred Allen Show, brought to you by Ipana Toothpaste for the smile of beauty, Sal Hepatica for the smile of health. An hour of smiles with Fred Allen, folks. 3,600 seconds of fun and music. Fun with our star comedian, Fred Allen. The inside story of the World's Fair's greatest attraction, the Aquacade, by its producer, Billy Rohn. Music with Peter Van Steeden, with the masters of Hot Licks, the Merrimacks, and with the sensational singing star of the boys from Syracuse, Wynn Murray. And the time has come. It's the Fred Allen Show. The curtain rises. Peter Van Steeden and the Merrimacks start our overture, and it's Baby Me. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we give you the winner in the big contest we forgot to announce last week. The first prize, a stucco muffin cutter, goes to Mrs. Leafy Noel of Prandtl, Texas. To all of the losers, to prove you are still losing, we give you Fred Allen in person.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, say, you know, Harry, now that you mention it, it might not be a bad idea if we did have a contest on the program.
Yes, we're about the only radio show that isn't giving something away these days.
That's right. You know, the new Pot of Gold program is giving away money if you've got a home and they can catch you in it.
Yes.
All of the quiz shows are paying people to send in questions. The Milton Berle program is buying old jokes.
Yeah, well, that's the trouble, Fred. People can't make any money listening to our show. Well,
people are actually losing money, Harry.
They're losing?
Losing, actually losing. Now, look, a man sits home by his radio, he listens to us for an hour, and what has he got?
A headache.
Exactly. Yeah. Why, a headache can lead to sinus trouble. A man goes to the hospital, day and night nurses, an oxygen tent. Say, it runs into money.
Hello?
Oh, Portland, were you eavesdropping?
No, I was just listening to what you were saying.
I was listening too, Alan.
Well, I should hope so. Your ear was practically in my mouth.
Tender, wasn't it?
Yes, I must say it was.
That's me all over, Tender Van Steeden.
Especially between the ears.
What were you saying about the program, Mr. Allen?
Well, Harry and I were saying audibly, foolishly, as it turned to develop now, but Harry and I were saying that people can't make any money listening to this program.
I'm on it, and I can't make any money.
Yes, and I wish you'd tell your cornet player to stop passing the hat in the studio after each number.
If I knew where I could get another job, I'd take it.
Well, you'd have to beat me to it, Van Steeden.
Hey, you know something? If this was only a quiz program, we could all send ourselves some questions and pick up a few dollars that way.
Say.
Mama made $5 sending a question to a quiz show.
Really?
My wife sent a joke to Milton Berle.
Well, how could she make a bundle out of you? You have no string section in the band. You can't make bundles without string.
If that's comedy, I'm a flat-footed floogie.
Well, that's comedy.
I'll get my arches lifted.
Who That is a dead exit if I've ever seen one. You really couldn't fix that exit with a pull motor the way he sneaked out, get his arches lifted. Who ever heard of a heel with arches?
Hey, I've got not a joke from Milton Berle, Mr. Allen.
Never mind. Not now, Portland. Last week, you remember, I promised my fan I'd put back the newsreels. Now, I have a couple of newsreels here tonight. One newsreel it developed after it was all cut out. But I've got one newsreel left, and I'm going to keep my word. A fanfare, Mr. Van Steeden. The Ipana Weekly Newsreel brings you the news cavalcade. Boston, Massachusetts, during the mild... Wait a minute. Now, start that away. Starting all over again. You can't try... try out anything new on this program. Everybody's working from memory here. Now, I don't want the megaphone. Start it again, people. Boston, Massachusetts. During the past week, mild earth tremors were felt in New England, New York, Ohio, and eastern Canada. Ipana News interviews folks in New England area who were vitally affected by last week's minor earthquake. At Rumford Falls, Vermont, a truck farmer, Wharton Bain, was inconvenienced.
Yes, that earthquake sure changed my plans.
Changed your plans? In what way, Farmer Bain?
Well, last spring I planted 10 acres of corn and 10 acres of beans.
I see.
Along comes this quake and shakes the daylights out in my land. I didn't reap no corn and no beans.
What was your harvest, Farmer Bain?
Succotash.
Thank you very much.
Quite all right, anytime. Say, whatever become of Orson Welles?
He went that way. And thank you. Thank you, Farmer Bay. At Dulcet Pond, New Hampshire... see, I forgot. I should have had the megaphone now. I'd mix my voices up.
At Dulcet Pond, New Hampshire, a housewife, Mrs. Dolores Bevins, had definite proof of quake.
I knowed it was something.
Well, how could you tell, Mrs. Bevins?
Well, my husband got the palsy. He's been shaken 40 years.
What happened during the quake?
I seen he was standing still.
Yeah? What did you say?
For the land shakes.
Sounds like an old courtroom to me, I'm not sure.
At Corner Trance, Rhode Island, a part-time scientist, Waldo Gould, explains the cause of the Earth's disturbance.
What causes earthquakes, Mr. Gould?
It's the glaciers that's doing it.
The glaciers?
Yep. Two glaciers break up. They don't see each other for 30,000 years. They meet again. It's like two odd fellows.
Oh, glaciers. Glaciers and odd fellows experience the same reaction when they meet?
Yep.
Well, what is it?
They shake, brother. They shake.
Thank you. Confidentially, what is a glacier, Mr. Gould?
A glacier is an ice cube that's had a chance.
I'm sorry.
At Wet Snag, Maine, a prominent campfire girl, Miss Tansy Whap. And she looks it. Had a distressing experience.
I was a campfire girl in good squatting for 30 years. Today, I'm an outcast.
On account of the earthquake? Well, what happened?
I was standing in front of the YW when the ground started shaking. I shook, too.
Yeah?
A patrol wagon drove up. I was bundled in.
And thanks to this earthquake...
I got 30 days.
For what?
Jitterbugging in the open.
Are you leaving town?
Yes, I'm joining unit number 7 tomorrow.
Thank you very much, and good luck to you at Fendel Funk, West Virginia, on your morning tomorrow. Thank you, Miss Tansy Webb. At South Crud, New York, the oldest inhabitant, Phineas Hobb, laughs at recent tremor scare.
This tremor was nothing.
You recall a worse quake, do you, Mr. Hobb?
Back in 92, we had what I call a tremor.
A violent, was it?
Violent. It shook my cow so bad, she was giving pot cheese.
Really? You don't say. Did you, or did you seek cover?
Well, I run into a saloon, but I weren't seeking cover.
You required spiritual reassurance.
Yeah, and I was willing to pay for it.
I see.
Yep, I started drinking, and bang, the earth gave a tremor, and the ceiling of that saloon just caved right in on me.
You stood there cold sober?
No, I lay there plastered.
Thank you.
City, New York. Miss Wynne Murray steps to the microphone at 9:11 Eastern Standard Time. Peter Van Steeden raises his baton. Miss Murray prepares to sing The Man with the Mandolin.
There's a funny little man that society won't let in, 'cause he's always picking on his little mandolin. Lovable old fella playing an old tune. He comes around every afternoon. Raggedy old minstrel wearing a big grin. You'll love the man with a mandolin. All the kids holler, all the kids holler to the windows above. Mama throw a nickel and the man will pick our little tune we love. Beedly um bum bum, beedly um bum. Open your heart, let the music in. Beedly-um-bum-bum, beedly-um-bum. There goes the man with the mandolin. He plays Santa Lucia. And he picks on Rigoletto. But it sounds like this. Beedly-um-bum. Here comes the man with a mandolin. Beedly-um-bum, beedly-um-bum. He'll cheer you up till your ship comes in. Lovable old fella playing an old tune. He comes around every afternoon. Raggedy old minstrel wearing a big grin. You'll love the man with a mandolin. All the kids father, all the kids above. Mama throw a nickel and the man will pick a little tune we love about the stars above. Beedly um bum bum, beedly um bum. Open your heart, let the music in. Beedly um bum bum, beedly um bum. There goes the man with the mandolin.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, if I may, I'd like to ask a rather delicate question.
Don't say another word, Fred. You can count on me for anything up to $2.
Me too. If you leave your watch as security.
Well, thank you, fellas. But the question I had in mind has to do with quite another subject. In a word, girls.
Oh, well, what about them, Fred?
Well, I think they get better looking every year, Harry. There seem to be more pretty girls per capita these days than there were when I was a gangling youth. Now the question is that a mirage or a stigmatism?
Oh, well, I don't think it's either, Fred. I think it's the truth. Because modern women not only put more accent on styles, but on smiles, too. You see, ladies and gentlemen, an attractive smile is really the keynote to beauty. That's why so many thousands have adopted the regular use of Ipana toothpaste, to help them have the kind of smiles that make for more attractiveness. Because Ipana is especially designed not only to clean and brighten teeth, but when used with massage, to help give gums the stimulation they need for firmness and health. So, ladies and gentlemen, follow this easy modern routine.
Every time you brush your teeth with Ipana toothpaste, put a little extra Ipana on your brush or fingertip and massage it on your gums. Notice the remarkable difference the very first time you use Ipana this way. Notice the pleasant, tingling sensation as circulation speeds up and lazy gums start to waken.
So make up your mind right now to stop at your drugstore for an economical tube of Ipana toothpaste and help yourself to healthier gums and brighter teeth. The perfect combination for a winning smile, the Ipana smile.
Thank you.
you, Peter Van Steen. Peter Van Steen and his sophomores of swing have just concluded Volvistu Gaily Star. Imagine in years to come, someone, a little boy, grows up and later says, songs my mother sang to me, Volvistu Gaily Star. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we present our question of the week. This is Mr. and Mrs. Average Man's Roundtable, where three persons selected from our studio audience are asked to give their opinions on a question of national interest or vital importance. Now, the question of the week will be announced in just a minute. But first, let us meet our committee. Portland?
Yes. First, we're having Mr. Arthur Hershkowitz from New York City.
Good evening, Mr. Hershkowitz.
Good evening.
May I ask your profession or occupation?
I'm a lawyer.
You're a lawyer, are
yes,
you?
Yes, sir.
You look rather young to be a lawyer, I would say. How long, perhaps you haven't had enough troubles in the business yet. How long have you been practicing?
14 years.
14 years, really? Uh-huh. It's a peculiar thing about doctors and lawyers. No matter how long they're in their professions, they're still practicing. Don't they ever get perfect in them?
I hardly think so.
But I'm glad that a lawyer finally has showed up at our roundtable, Mr. Hershkowitz. I'd like to ask I'd like to have you explain something to me, if you'd be kind enough to, would you?
If I can, I will.
There won't be any charge involved.
Not now.
Well, one I'd like to ask you is, whenever you go out in the country, out driving around in the country, you see those signs on trees and fences, no trespassing under the penalty of the law. Now, just what constitutes legal trespass?
Well, there are several kinds of trespass, such as trespass on a case,
yeah,
trespass de bonis asportatus, trespass vi et armis,
yeah,
and the trespass to which you are specifically referring to is known as trespass quare clausum frigit.
Oh, that, Now I'll have to hire another lawyer to find out. I notice, Mr. Hershkowitz, that most lawyers here in New York seem to have sidelines. Some of them handle actors' business, others are investment counselors. Have you? Do you have a sideline along with your...
Yes, I have.
Have you really?
Really, yes.
What is it, may I ask?
Well, I'm interested in a real estate development.
Oh, in a real estate development? In the city here?
No, in the suburbs.
Where?
In Westfield, New Jersey.
What is the name? I'll have to get it out of you by cross-examination. I'd have to, at Westfield, huh?
That's right.
What is the name of it?
Colonial Homes in Westfield.
Oh, the Colonial Homes in, well, you could have said that right away and saved me all that conversation. But there are so many housing projects going up, it's really fine that all the building is in the offing. I guess it's much nicer to buy a house in a development than it is to buy one of those houses you get through the mail. I was down in Nantucket last summer. I saw a house there a fellow bought through the mail. There was some little mix-up in his general delivery packages or something. When he got the house together, he found out he had 6 bathrooms. The attic was on the first floor, and the front door opened into the fireplace. Very confusing. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Hershkowitz. Who is our next guest, Portland?
Mrs. Nora Emmeluth from the Bronx.
Mrs. Emmeluth, happy to have you here tonight.
Thank you, Alan.
You live in the Bronx, do you?
Yes, I do.
They tell me that certain swanky families uptown are now calling the Bronx Lower Yonkers. Is there... what is your profession, may I ask?
I'm a secretary.
Secretary here in New York, I am?
Yes, I am.
Where?
In the Empire State Building.
Oh, really? Al Smith's townhouse. How is the governor these days?
Why, he seems quite well.
Oh, that's
he looks
fine.
Splendid.
Looks fine. I'm glad to hear it. Has he seen that picture, Mr. Smith goes to Washington? Do you know?
I don't know.
If he wants to sue, I'm quite sure Mr. Hershkowitz here would be glad to take the case. Well, I guess the Empire State's been pretty well crowded with tourists this summer during the fair, hasn't it?
Yes, they've had a big season.
Oh, there's a friend of mine came over from Boston, a lady who had a friend working on the 80th floor. And she didn't know there were elevators in the Empire State, and she was gone for 3 months before she... There's one thing I never could understand about the Empire State Building. People will come over from Jersey and pay a dollar to go up on top of the Empire State Building to look back at Jersey again. Have you got any vacant room, any space down there to rent?
A little.
A little, huh? I wanted to tell Mr. Whalen. He'll have to have a place to put the trial on after Tuesday, you know.
We'll see what we can do for him.
All right, I'll appreciate it. And now, Portland?
Mr. Edward Parks from New York City.
Oh, Mr. Parks, you joined our committee last week and wrote in again asking to be with us again this week.
Yes, Mr. Allen. Last week, if you remember, you wanted to know what was the idea of the return of corsets
for
women.
The corsets, yes.
Well, you know, I had a long talk with my wife.
Oh, I... The only thing is, Mr. Parks, I'm sorry to have to shut you off, but you see, this week we have another question.
Well, I just thought I'd tell you because I had to figure it, straighten it out with my mother-in-law. You know, I'm...
I'm sorry. You see, each week we have a different question, and I'll tell you the question we're going to have tonight a little later on.
Well, the only thing, I just wanted to tell you what she said.
If it concerns last week's question, of course, we couldn't take it up now because then we wouldn't have time to take up the question tonight. And I'll try to let you have enough time to finish tonight, Mr. Parks.
All right, Mr. Allen.
Because if you're on the program another week, you'll have to join AFRA, you see. Now, our question tonight concerns a holiday that arrives next month. Now, as we all know, since the days of the Pilgrims in this country, a day has been set apart each year for Thanksgiving. In 1864... President Lincoln proclaimed the last Thursday in November to be the official day of Thanksgiving. Now, each president since has appointed the same day. This year, Thanksgiving Day has been moved ahead a week. Now, our question tonight is, do you favor the recent change in our Thanksgiving Day date? Mr. Hershkowitz?
Yes, I do.
You do? Why?
I think it'll help business, and with Thanksgiving not crowding up on Christmas, why, there'll be more days for people to do their shopping.
Mrs. Emmeloos, do you agree with that?
Well, I think it's a slight blow to tradition, don't you, Mr. Allen?
Well, of course, I'm only asking the questions. If I get so I can answer them, I won't need the committee. Mr. Parks, what do you think about the change in Thanksgiving Day?
Well, to tell you the truth, Mr. Allen, naturally, as I told you before, I'm just married, and I've had nothing but eggs ever since I've
You don't really care whether Thanksgiving
Day
is
changed or not. Don't make a bit of difference to me at all.
Well, do you think... of course, you're a difficult man. Do you think there is any other holiday you would rather see moved than Thanksgiving?
Yes, sir.
Well, which one is that?
Christmas.
You would rather see Christmas move back into the next year?
Or, yes, sir. I'd rather see it move for, either way, as long as it's moved somewhere.
Oh, so... I think you've got something there, or you might have a way of keeping Christmas where it is and moving the whole year back. From Christmas. But an economist, I notice economist in Washington has an excellent idea. He wants to put all of the holidays together and let everybody sit in the country, sit down for 2 weeks and do absolutely nothing. Well, I think that we've gotten someplace with our committee tonight. I want to thank you all a lot for your courtesy and your kindness, and I'd like to present you each with a gift box containing all of the Bristol Myers products, including Ipana and Salipatica. And thank you an awful lot for your kindness.
Thank you.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Merry Max, whose vocal antics lend a certain dignity to swing. I'm not overdoing it, am I, folks? The Merry Max, their song, We're Off to See the Wizard.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow the yellow brick road. Follow the rainbow over the stream. Follow the fellow who follows the dream. Follow, 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 follow the yellow brick road. We're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz. We hear he is a wizard of a wiz, if ever a wiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a wiz there was, the wizard of Oz is one because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to to be the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is a wizard of a wizard.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present a midget Allen mystery. The central figure is a woman, young, fairly intelligent, and always dressed in becoming clothes. When men first meet her, they think she's very attractive. Then suddenly, her charm vanishes. Why? That's the mystery.
And this is the solution, a very simple and obvious one, too, ladies and gentlemen. A woman is only as attractive as her smile. Every day, more and more women, and men, too, are realizing that. That's why they depend on Ipana toothpaste to help them have and keep winning smiles. You see, teeth seldom sparkle when your gums are soft and tender. And the creamy, well-cooked foods we eat do not give our gums the stimulation they need for firmness and health. So frequently, pink toothbrush appears, the first warning signal of tender, ailing gums. When you see that, by all means, see your dentist. You may not be in for serious trouble, but let him decide. Usually, his verdict will be,
your gums are robbed of work by the soft, well-cooked foods you eat. They need more exercise to keep them firm and healthy.
And very often, as so many dentists do, he may add,
your gums will respond to the healthful stimulation of Ipana toothpaste and massage.
So brush your teeth and massage your gums with Ipana regularly to help your gums to healthful firmness and to have cleaner, brighter teeth. Help give your smile a new and sparkling loveliness by faithfully using Ipana toothpaste. Well, ladies and gentlemen, while your local announcer is taking a deep breath to remind you of the station to which you are listening, may we remind you that this is National Pharmacy Week. A tribute to the druggists of America. And we pay our deepest respects to these men who serve their communities both day and night in time of sickness and emergency. Your patronage is your appreciation of the capable service your druggist is always ready and willing to render. The Fred Allen Hour will continue immediately after a short pause for your station identification.
Ladies and gentlemen, we present as our guest tonight the most fantastic and colorful gentleman rampant in modern show business today. To the millions who have visited the New York World's Fair, he is known as the man who presented the fair's outstanding feature, the Aqua Cave.
We're ready, Mr. Allen.
We're ready for what, Portland?
Harry's trio is waiting to introduce Mr. Rhodes.
No, 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 not again. Now, Harry's trio sang last week to bring on Gene Autry. We have got to wait for that rendition to blow over from last week. Go away.
We've been rehearsing all week.
Well, no, it won't help, Harry. The answer is no.
Well, look, Kay Kaiser has singing song titles, Fred.
Why can't we have singing introductions?
Yeah.
Oh, well, which one of Billy Rose's numbers were you going to sing?
Well, we thought we could do without a song.
We could do without a song is right.
It's okay, Harry.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, all right. Come on, boys. Let's go.
Without a song, the day would never end. Without a song.
To the polluted strains of his favorite song, we bring you the outstanding showman. Up with the melody, boys. The melody. You're letting down the melody. I know, but the other... You've got two stowaways in the verse there. To the polluted strains of his favorite song, we bring you the outstanding showman in America today. The man who produced the Aqua K. Get away, boys. You bother me. That's all, men. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to have you meet Mr. Billy Rhodes.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Fred, for that flamboyant introduction. You certainly didn't spare the adjective.
Well, I meant it, Billy. Your activities would cause a thesaurus to slink into a corner and hang its glossary in despair.
Wait a minute. I never heard of a glossary hanging its head.
Say, do I know what a glossary is? I heard the word on information, please. You know, Billy, this is the first time I've seen you since you opened your Aquacade, and I am agreeably surprised.
You mean at my appearance?
Yes. Spending so much of your time around water this summer, why, I expected to find you with web feet or smoking a cigar with fins on it or something.
No, I'm still normal, Fred. Of course, that's only one man's opinion.
Now to... You don't want to mention the gentleman's name. Now, to make this a real radio interview, Billy, we'd like to have you give us a few highlights from your colorful career.
Certainly, Fred. Now, first I went...
You were born, you adolesced. At an early age, you became the world's champion exponent of shorthand and typing.
Yes, then I really started...
Then you became a songwriter. You wrote such hits as That Old Gang of Mine, Don't Bring Lulu, Me and My Shadow.
Yes, and then I really
produced musical shows. You startled the amusement world by opening New York's first theater restaurant, the Casino de Paris. Then you were...
Now, wait a minute, Fred. Who's interviewing whom?
Well, I'm sorry, Billy. I was carried away by your colorful career. Say, tell me, what was your first gigantic production in the theater?
A musical trifle called Jumbo, starring Jimmy Durante and an elephant.
Whatever became of the elephant, Billy?
Well, I don't know, Fred. You know how it is, and I've been busy, and we sort of drifted apart.
You know, that show Jumbo always puzzled me. I never figured out how you could tell Durante and the elephant apart.
It was easy, Fred. One of them worked for peanuts.
That's what they were. That would be Durante, of course. But after Jumbo, you really gave the country some spectacles.
Well, I produced the Fort Worth Frontier Centennial in Texas, the Water Carnival at the Great Lakes Exposition in Cleveland, and finally the Aquacade in New York.
Well, you know that so many people marvel at the expert presentation of your Aquacade at the World's Fair that I'm sure folks would like to know a little about the inner workings of your liquid fiesta. Now, you won't resent a mild cross-examination.
No, not at all. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, how did you stage those beautiful chorus routines in the water? Did you have to jump in personally and tread water while you were directing them?
No, Fred, all the chorus routines were worked out on paper. Then we had a swimming master teach them to the lads and lassies.
Well, how about a few statistics? How much water do you need to maintain high tide at your aquacade?
The pool holds approximately 1,100,000 gallons. But, of course, the water is being constantly changed.
1,100,000. Why, over the summer, you've used millions of gallons. Say, if all of the water you have used at the Aquacade was stood on end, you'd have another Niagara Falls.
Gee, I wish I had produced Niagara Falls.
Well, why, Billy?
Well, for one thing, I think it'll run longer than the Aquacade.
No, I doubt it very much. What about the attendance figures on your flooded follies to date? Can you recall the figures offhand?
Yes, Fred, and I'm rather proud of them. The Aquacade is probably the biggest hit in the entire history of show business. So far, it has played to a little over 4,800,000 people.
Well, is that more than AB's Irish Rose played to?
Yes, sir, it's even more than the Yankees, Giants, and Dodgers combined played to all last season.
Say, perhaps the Yanks will take a tip from you. Next summer, they may flood the stadium. Hey, they could tie some water wings on Joe DiMaggio.
And use three chorus girls in the infield.
Yep, and I still think they'll beat Cincinnati.
Yes, if they beat them on land, they ought to beat them on sea. But tell me, Billy, when the Aquacade closes next week, what are you going to do with all of that used water you're going to have on your hands over there?
Well, I haven't decided yet, Fred. Have you any ideas?
Well, I know that you can't turn that much water loose in Flushing, or it's going to look like it did before Grover siphoned it off.
I think I'd better hold on to it, Fred. You know, the fair starts again in the spring, and I'm presenting a new show at the Aquacade.
And I'm sure it'll be the talk of 1940. Confidentially, now this is off the record, that thing Al Smith likes to look at once in a while. Will you tell me one thing? As the creator of the Aquacade, did you ever go for a swim in it yourself this summer?
Confidentially, I hate the water.
You hate the water? Well, on those hot days, you didn't even take off your shoes and stockings and get in a little bunion dunking?
No, sir. No, sirree. Everybody around the show used to undress and go for a dip, but not me.
You were the little man who wasn't bare, huh? Well, thanks a lot for this verbal splashing. Now, before you go, how about a preview of the next idea that the Rose imagination has on the fire at the moment?
Well, I have one little notion. A musical comedy in the sky. Chorus girls and parachutes. 64 airplanes doing a Roxy dance routine. Toscanini directing Bora Minovich in a Zeppelin.
Oh. Or vice versa.
I think it has possibilities.
Well, you might have to let out the sky a little, but say to Billy Rose, that's nothing. Have you any other ideas?
Well, I have a proposition to turn the steamship Normandy into a nightclub.
Say, you could use the Weehawken ferry as a busboy. But I guess this is all floating trivia. You have beached mentally for the nonce.
Yes, Fred. When the Aquacade closes, I'm launching the biggest project of my career. It's something so terrific it has me worried.
Worried? You're not going to put vaudeville in the Grand Canyon.
No, Fred. I'm going to get married.
Married? Oh, boy, what a wedding that'll be. 600 bridesmaids, 2,000 ministers, 8,000 musicians playing the wedding march, the bride wearing Tiffany's new building on her third finger, and the botanical gardens for a corsage, people throwing old Tom McCann shoe stores at your boat. Say, this is going to be the biggest wedding the world has ever known. Am I right, Billy?
No, Fred, you're not.
I'm not?
No, we're just going to have a simple ceremony. Then we're going to find a nice, quiet spot for a honeymoon.
Billy Rose, the great producer?
Yeah, the great producer. Did you ever hear of a husband having anything to say about the wedding?
I get it.
Good night, Fred.
Good night, and thank you, Billy Rose. And now, Wynn.
Yes, Fred.
What is your song?
What's new?
Well, I'm asking you.
What's new? How is the world treating you? You haven't changed a bit. Lovely as ever, I must admit. What's new? How did that romance come through? We haven't met since then. Gee, but it's nice to see you again. What's new? Probably I'm boring you. But seeing you is grand, and you were sweet to offer your hand. I understand, but you, pardon my asking, what's new? Of course you couldn't know, I haven't changed, I still love you so. What's new? Probably I'm kissing you is grand, and you were sweet to offer your hand. I understand. Adieu. Pardon my asking what's new. Of course you couldn't know. Haven't changed. I love you so. I do.
Thank you. That was swell, Wynn.
This program is unfair. This program is unfair.
Just a minute, buddy. This program is unfair to what? I
haven't got time to go into details, bud. This program is unfair.
Now, look. Wait a minute. Just a minute. We're entitled to some explanation.
Oh. Well, you see, I'm a member of the Life is Real, Life is Earnest, and the Grave is Not Our Goal Society.
Oh. Incorporated? You are, huh?
Yes, sir. And we're picketing all radio programs of the frivolous type. If you're educational, okay. If you're cultural, okay.
Uh-huh.
If you're promoting the public welfare, okay. Otherwise, this program is unfair.
Harry,
look,
quick,
my friend, listen. Don't you think advice on fighting a cold at this time of the year is promoting the public welfare?
Well, that all depends. Let's hear how you go about it.
Yes, surely. Ladies and gentlemen, at the very first sign of a cold, take sparkling Sal Hepatica. Because Sal Hepatica helps fight a cold faster. Most people, and you're probably one of them, take a laxative when a cold threatens. But some laxatives work so slowly it's hours before they're effective. And speed in fighting a cold is mighty important. Now, Sal Hepatica, as so many physicians will tell you, is not only quick and gentle acting, but in addition, it speedily helps nature counteract the acidity that usually accompanies a cold. That's why Sal Hepatica helps faster. So get an economical bottle of Sal Hepatica from your druggist before another day goes by. Then, whenever anyone in your family feels a cold coming on, show them this intelligent modern way to help fight that cold faster. With Sal Hepatica.
And now, bowing to the Western trend, the Mighty Allen Artplayers tonight present a melodrama of the West. It's called The Prairie Predicament, or The Cross-Eyed Cowboy Had Slants in His Glance. Overture, Peter.
South of the border, down Mexico way, I'm singing in B flat. I ought to sing it in A.
Sakes a mighty Shriveler, is that you were singing?
Tain't Gene Autry, Ma. How'd you like my gitter obligata?
Gitter? You aren't playing no gitter.
Confound my cross eyes. I must have been missing the gitter with my strumming.
You and them cross eyes. Your peepers looks like two stuffed olives that way about each other.
Well, I may be swivel-eyed, Ma, but I always gets my man.
How you can shoot straight with them crooked blinkers beats me.
I got me a sister, Ma. When I look at an hombre, well, I sees two of it.
So?
So, I shoot right between them two guys and always gets my man.
About time you quit shooting and got to earn him.
Well, I'm fixing to get some money, Ma.
Well, you better quit fixing to get and get to getting to get.
Well, I'm fixing to get and to get to get to get to get.
Yeah, well, Sheriff Todd sent word again.
Yeah.
If you ain't got the mortgage money on this shanty by noon, out you go.
Out we go, Ma.
Out you go, Swivel Eye. Me and the sheriff's got plans.
Plans, eh, Ma? You ain't got no more rump than a busted French horn.
Well, you ain't no Narcissi. I'm sorry I ever married you.
If it weren't for my cross eyes, You wouldn't have got the chance.
You sweet-talked me into it at the dance, didn't you?
I was proposing to the gal next to you, Ma. The little gal with the burlap snood. You accepted me. Well, I was hooked.
Oh, well, wrangling ain't getting us nowhere. We'll be dispossessed by noon.
I'm gonna get us some chips, Ma. I got some boys are coming up here later for a poker game.
You gambling again?
I'm feeling lucky, Ma. I'll win the mortgage money and enough to boot to buy you a new handle for your butter churn. You won't have to take off your stockings no more to get in that churn with the curds and ball the jack. Somebody's to the door, Ma. Entree.
Good morning, folks.
Yippee, it's a tenderfoot swivel.
I got your kivet, stranger.
Put down that gun.
I'm a-telling you to give.
All right, I'm going.
Not you, Ma.
You was looking at me.
But I'm talking to him.
Talking to me?
You heard me.
Who, me?
No, him. Confound my swivel eyes. Now look, stranger.
Yes?
I'm closing my eyes.
Yes?
I'm starting to talk.
Yes?
I'm talking to you.
Fine.
Who be you, Bub?
Well, Nipley's my name, Bob Nipley.
You got truck with Swivel Eye Allen, Bub?
Yes. Now, I know your reputation, Swivel Eye, a cross-eyed desperado who's never missed a shot.
That's me.
You'll be a great attraction at my auditorium. I can pay you $200 a week.
$200 what?
Dollars.
What's dollars?
Well,
it's money, Ma. Looks like lettuce, only it's dry. I can pay off the mortgage and keep the Sheriff Todd from foreclosing there, can't I, Mr. Nipley?
Yes, indeed. Now, you understand, of course, that all my curiosities are authentic. I'll have to check on your prowess.
Well, I'm cross-eyed, ain't I?
Yes.
And I'm a sure shot.
Well, with those cross eyes, how do you do it?
It's my sister, Mr. Nipley. When I aim, I see two of my man. I shoot between them, and I never miss.
Well, I don't believe it.
Well, I can show you. Now, here's my gun, you see?
Yes?
Here in my hand.
Yes?
I see two of you.
Yes?
I aim right between you. And...
Yes?
Oh! You drop dead.
So I do. Believe it or not.
Oh. You and them cross eyes. You shot yourself right out of the job.
Plum forgot myself, Ma. Well, I'll put the body in the closet.
Here, set me down.
Confound my swivel eyes. Come on. In you go, Mr. Nipley.
You and your doggone shooting. What are we going to use for money?
When my poker game gets going, Ma, the money'll start rolling in. Come on, give old swivel eye a kiss, Ma.
Oh, I ain't in no mood for lip bumping.
What's them hoof beats yonder, Ma?
Why, it's Sheriff Todd.
Whoa! Open in the name of the law.
You're entering at your own risk, Sheriff.
Ah, there you be. I've come to get you, swivel eye.
I'd laugh at you, Sheriff, but my teeth is in my other pants.
Ain't noon yet, Sheriff. You can't foreclose.
No.
I ain't here for that.
What then?
You shot that tenderfoot outside of Dandy Dan's saloon last night. I'm charging murder.
Oh, shucks, Sheriff. I had to plug that galoot. It was a question of etiquette.
Etiquette?
Sure was. Three-toed John and me was a-drinking at the bar. Time come to pay, both of us was insisting.
Huh?
Instead of tossing, I says, John, I'll plug yonder stranger outside there. If he falls to the left, it's on you. If he falls to the right, I'll pay. Was the Emily Post in me a-coming out?
Well, who won?
I fired. The dude's suspenders caught on a hitching post. He died standing up. Drinks was on the house.
Well, that dude's suspenders broke this morning.
Meaning?
His body's been laying next to a fire hydrant for 2 hours. It's a violation. I give the body a ticket.
Yeah?
And I'm arresting you, Swivel Eye Allen, for murder.
What?
Yeah, if you arrest Swivel now, Sheriff, how are you going to foreclose him at noon?
Yeah, I'm bringing him from the hoosegow, putting him back in the house, and then I'm throwing him out. Let's go, Swivel.
Not so long as I can shoot, Sheriff. No pretty joy with no Dick Tracy badge is a taking Swivel. Now get.
I'm getting...
Don't start that again, Law. It's you. Get, Law.
Well, I'll get, but I'll be back to foreclose.
Well, I reckon I better start packing, Swivel. We're done.
Given that shin, I'm a-plugging in.
Oh, take the sheriff. It's the three of your no-good friends from Dandy Dan's saloon. What do they want?
Doggone, it's my poker game, Ma. This is where I win enough money from the boys to pay off the mortgage.
I'll open up.
Howdy, Mr. Allen.
Howdy, Swivel.
Hey, Parson Pete, Sassy Sam, and Filthy Philip. How are y'all, partners?
Well, Hudson's just raring to start the game, Swivel.
Well, so am I.
Well, that's what we reckon.
Well, I'm sure glad you did.
Well, we're sure glad you're glad, Swivel.
Well, I'm sure glad you're glad I'm glad, partners.
Well!
Hold on. Hold on, boys. One well too many, we're apt to fall in. Hold on, boys. Let's call it a draw and set.
Well, how are we playing, Swivel? Cutthroat or friendly?
Friendly's my choice.
Well, that suits me.
Yep, me too.
All right, guns on the table, everybody.
Well, here's my hardware.
Mine too.
Here's mine.
Well, I reckon we can start.
Hold on there now. Just for novelty, how about parking our knives, too, eh?
What? You mean no weapons?
Yeah, let's make it strict Colbertson rules.
Yeah, everybody game?
Here's my knife.
Here's mine.
Mine too.
And mine.
Hey, what was that?
I'm playing squire with you boys. That's the safety pin off my union suit.
Well, reckon I can cut for deal.
Now hold on, Filthy. Ain't that I don't trust you.
Here, you ain't a-hinting them holding out, Swivel.
The last time you played poker without weapons, Filthy, 4 men was found dead.
Well.
And 'twan't from hardening of the artillery.
Now, see here, you can go on and search me if you want to.
And I do want. I'll feel around you, mate.
Swivel!
Oh, confound my
eyes. Quit showing, Swivel. Let's get on with the game.
Okay, I got the cards right here. I'll deal a hand.
Well,
I'm feeling lucky. Yeah,
let's pick go. Up your cards, man. Pick up your hands, men. I can use your money.
Well, money talks, Swivel, and mine ain't a saying goodbye.
Wow, what a hand. I'm a betting the Mexican dollar.
I'll see that Mexican dollar and raise it 275.
Well, I'll see that 275 and raise it 20 bucks.
Boy, what are you doing, Swivel?
I'm a little short of money, boys. I'm betting Ma here.
No shortchanging, Swivel.
Okay, then, I reckon I gotta see you fellas with chattels. I'm betting my shanty and raising you my RFC loan. Now, what do you do?
Well, I'm out.
Yep, me too.
No, wait a minute. I'm seeing that, Swivel, and I'm a-raising you 500 bucks dollars. Here's my poke.
And I'm a-calling you, Filthy, with my social security card.
You win this pot, Swivel, and we can pay off the mortgage.
Don't worry, I'm a-winning, Ma. What are you holding, Filthy?
Read 'em and wheat, Swivel. 3 aces. Here's my hand.
Here's mine, Filthy. You lose.
No, sorry, sir, Swivel. I got your beat. Now look here.
Got me beat?
Yes.
Why, you ornery, take that.
Oh.
Got me beat.
Well, he did have your beat, Swivel.
You too, Sassy Sam. Take that. You got anything to say, Pison Pete?
Not right now.
In case you do later, take that. Break in the money, Ma. We can pay the mortgage now. The shanty's saved.
You sure was lucky, Swivel. Filthy had 3 aces.
But look at my hand.
Sakes almighty. Filthy did have you beat, Swivel.
What?
You only got 2 kings.
2 kings? Not the way I see it. With my cross eyes, I see 4 kings. And what I see, I've got.
Then when Filthy put down his 3 aces...
I saw 6 aces.
Well, then
That's why I shot him. No card shopping scum is rooking Swivel Eye Allen.
and gentlemen, nearly every one of us at some time or other feels sluggish and under the weather. Or we have a dull headache resulting from a stomach that's upset because of overindulgence in eating or drinking. Well, now that's when a glass of sparkling Sal Hepatica helps give you a faster comeback. Just be sure it's Sal Hepatica you take. Because something that's only a laxative does nothing to counteract excess gastric acidity. But Sal Hepatica, as so many physicians will tell you, not only brings you speedy, gentle relief, but it also counteracts excess gastric acidity. And that chases that sickish feeling fast. So get an inexpensive bottle of Sal Hepatica at your drugstore tomorrow. Remember, you look your best when you feel your best. When your step is light and your spirits are high. And you feel better faster when you take gentle, quick-acting Sal Hepatica. Well, Fred, have you got something to say before off the air?
Yes, I was just leaving a lull there. I thought maybe the number would get an encore, Harry. And don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, next Wednesday evening, we bring you beauty hints.
Men, here is how you can keep your mustache neat.
Don't kiss girls who chew bubble gum.
Your song of the week.
Oh, them burning slippers. Oh, them burning slippers. Them burning slippers. I'm going to be because there's no heat.
Just a minute. That's golden slippers. That's not burning slippers.
I just give the wife a hot foot.
Oh. Our guest stars will be...
The Moylan sisters, the two youngest stars in radio.
And music.
National Broadcasting Company.